Welcome to February, everybody. We're starting the month off strong with the topic of loving like Christ, and more importantly, what do we do when we don't want to?
But I don't want to.
I don't want to, Grandpa. So, topically, we are talking about love mostly because it's Valentine's Day right around the corner. So, if you have not bought a gift for your girlfriend or wife yet, here is your sign to do
Here's
so. But so, we're talking mostly about the idea of, you know, how relationships are in the view of the Bible and what God's word says about that in a world where relationships are a little more looked at transactionally and conditionally.
Yeah.
And just how do we kind of work through that as men of Christ and just what our faith says we should be doing in regards to loving those around us?
Yeah, I find that, you know, men are wired naturally not to kind of immediately go to feelings, right?
Yeah.
And love is one of those emotions that many robots do not like to develop. It's not part of their core programming, but it needs to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a model that we can look at where Christ loved people who loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And love people who hated him.
Yeah.
Even to the point of on the cross, as they were killing him, he is still praying to God to, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Please forgive them,
yeah.
That type thing. And so, but being a finite creature, we tend to have conditions,
mm-hmm.
and agendas with some of our love, like on one side, you may like, well, I'm gonna give you some gifts,
mm-hmm.
or I'm a serve in this way. I'm gonna bake you cookies or mm-hmm. whatever. You love me when I do that kind of thing.
Right.
There should be love, regardless of gifts or cookies, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, studies indicate that couples who actively incorporate their faith into their relationship have a higher level of marital satisfaction. Go figure, right?
Yeah. Well, I think you can see that there's a direct correlation of when your heart is right with God, it's much easier to be loving towards those around you because you're trying to model your life after Christ.
Sure.
And I think that even that phrase there, like love like Christ, and it's one of those kind of like churchies, kind of like I'll pray for you kind of thing when you got nothing else to say, where it's like we've said it so much to the point where it almost loses meaning.
Sure.
You know, for people who've been in the church for a long time, you know, that may have resulted in you not knowing what that looks like practically. And now you're too far gone to even ask that question because you've been in the church for 7 decades. You're like, I am terrified to ask that question. Or maybe you grew up in an environment where that love was entirely conditional on how you behaved, how you did in school, how you did on sports. And you have no reference point for what that looks like in your life. And so today we're going to talk about some practical, you know, implications and actions you can take. But, you know, a great starting point is to dig into the Word of God and see all the examples that the Bible gives us as the living Word of God in these unconditional loves that, you know, Jesus shows. You know, we talk about the Good Samaritan a lot on this podcast of the love that he's shown this stranger.
Sure.
That didn't, he never said, okay, I'm going to help you, but, you know, I got an interest rate about 10%, so I'll come back to collect in a week.
Right.
You know, he came around only to make sure he's okay, to pay the dues that was required to heal him. And, you know, that is the prime example of unconditional love outside of Jesus. But, like, that is the prime example of if you have no other examples or benchmarks or plumb lines in your life, that's a good one to start at.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time that you have shown love to someone with nothing being expected of them?
Yeah, no agenda.
No agenda. And so I think if we're all honest, yeah, it might be your spouse or your family, but many times those have agendas too.
Mm-hmm.
I love you if you do this, or I only love you in these certain situations, like, I can only tell you I love you when we're on the phone.
Mm.
I can't tell you in person because I'm emotionally broken. I didn't grow up with that kind of thing. And so you're not used to saying it. Or you say it so much it loses its meaning because all the moments between those words tell me you don't.
Right.
And so applying Christ's teaching to our modern day relationships is, you know, how can we show unconditional love to a world that often emphasizes conditional? Like, we can be friends as long as you agree with everything I say. Mm-hmm. Or if you meet these conditions, then I will show you love. That's never in Scripture.
Yeah.
Never. And so balancing demands of work and home, ensuring our we're emotionally available to our family is a great place to start working on how we can communicate our love to people. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, men, it's going to require some prayer and communication. Mm-hmm. And I know we hate hearing that, but it's going to require some communication that you can't always just show you love someone with your acts of service. You're going to have to tell them as well sometime. And so the role that we see of forgiveness and grace, the importance of forgiveness in relationships, I think is a great starting point, because we all have relationships that have gone a little sideways. Mm. Sometimes by our own intention, like we're like, I don't like this person. I'm just going to stir the pot when I see him, bring up some old wounds and, you know, let him know how I'm feeling. That's just the odd thing. Mm-hmm. When we have an agenda, we have no problem telling you what's on our mind. Mm-hmm. But when it evolves around maybe an emotion that you feel the Holy Spirit kind of tugging at you, saying, look, you need to, you know, forgive that person, ask for forgiveness, or let them know that you love them. Mm-hmm. If you have a hard time saying that, work your way up to it. Show that you care for that person. Ask questions. You know, how are you doing? You know, how's your health? Or whatever. The more you do it, the easier it'll come.
Yeah, I think we grow up in a society where it's very difficult as men to have that kind of vernacular baked into us. So and none of this comes easy and simple to anyone, I think. But you brought up, a really good point about, you know, like sometimes you need to use words, and we talk a lot about the five love languages on this podcast. We love the five love languages on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know yours or your spouse's, you need to figure that out, because that is definitely a building block of a great marriage. But I have seen many times where people maybe lack in words. They will try to love bomb in other areas, and oftentimes that falls on deaf ears.
Right.
I know a couple that the wife's parents love to give gifts. They will bombard you with Gucci, Nike, all the things, the shiny objects, and her love language is not that, and it just comes across as very hollow, vain, empty words, and the parents are very confused why the relationship with their daughter is so strained, because they're like, well, I gave you the things, now you give me the love.
Right.
And, you know, that's not how that works. And so I caution you to, while we all have our own love languages, and that's usually the ones that we're the best at, that you may need to make sure the person who you're talking to or communicating to, what their love language is or how they respond to love, that you can actively and effectively communicate that, because it's easy to be like, well, I'm really good at acts of service. I can't talk worth anything, but I can go cut your grass for you.
Right.
That to them may be like, yeah, you cut my grass, but are you proud of me? I don't even, do you love me? Mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of thing. So, you know, it's good to put yourself in the other person's shoes and understand that it takes a bunch of different things to kind of get that thought process across sometimes.
Right. We tend to want to communicate to other people how we like to communicate to ourselves, right? And so we're in a small group, and the gentleman was a gift giver. Mm-hmm. His wife was quality time and words. And he's like, he just bought her a new car. He worked at a car dealership. Mm-hmm. Could not figure why they were still having marital problems. I just bought her a brand new car. Mm-hmm. why is she still upset? And they never did figure it out because he wound up passing away about less than a year later. Mm-hmm. But you can see that the challenge we have with communicating incorrectly.
Yeah.
And so our verse in this section is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And we're going to take a little snippet of it, but you can read it.
Love is patient and kind, and love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way and is not irritable or resentful. Hmm.
By us having scripture to read as examples of how to do things, we are horrible at doing things sometimes.
Right. We have an exact list of everything love is in the previous verses and then everything it is not immediately after that. This is a literal to-do list of, hey, this is what love is, this is what it's not, go forth. And we still mess it up.
You know, I often think back before there was scripture written and it was told orally only. I would be horrible at listening and retaining the details of, he said something about a donkey, and I don't know, he was talking about donkeys or something. I would mess up that completely. So thank you, Lord. I was not born in an era that it was, hey, look, I'm going to tell you this. You got to get all the details right. I'm in big trouble.
I couldn't be the person telling you because I'd add too much verbatim. Like, hey, Jimmy, you listening? You listening? This part. You should probably listen to this part more.
I'm now going to embellish this part of the lesson. So before we stop this segment, I wanted to mention to you a couple of things. Our memberships, the Uncommon memberships, we just updated some of the resources that different platforms come with. So we have the monthly, the yearly, and the lifetime. And so each one got some additional resources added to what comes with it. And we brought all the ebooks out of storage, out of the vault.
Out of the vault.
Right. We dusted them off. And so, and also now the lifetime comes with all of our masterclass and series, which is a huge, I think, a resource for that. So if you have not checked out our membership packages, do so at uncommon.org. And while you're there, we have over now like close to 80 devotions ranging from everything such as the topic we're probably talking about today.
Yep.
Some of them are even good. So I'm sure it's written by someone else. But be sure to check that out. We get ready to break for our first segment. Listen to some of the sponsors that have financially supported Uncommon, and we're very thankful for all of them. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor. Cole & Company looks to impact the lives of all they touch so they can discover their greatest potential. They seek to coach clients to clarity and reach their version of success. Visit them at cole-cpa.com. Okay, welcome back from our break into segment two. We're talking about navigating challenges with Christ's compassion. So the pain point in this section is men often face challenges in expressing vulnerability and compassion in relationships influenced by social expectations.
We talked a little bit on this briefly in the mental health podcast a couple weeks back, but I think it's really important to understand that there are societal pressures on us as men in how we are looked at when it comes to emotions, because it can be very daunting to be vulnerable with your wife if you've grown up in an environment, you know, you can attest to this with your dad, but, you know, some guys grow up in environments where emotion is not a word, nor is it a topic discussed in any capacity when it comes to how you're feeling. It is the epitome of, how you doing? You better say good, because I don't care what else you're saying.
You mean blinding anger is not an emotion? Okay, I didn't know that.
But it can be very difficult for men who grow up in environments who, you know, maybe don't have that framework built into them and have that emotional vocabulary of, I don't know even what I'm feeling right now.
Sure.
All I know is I'm not happy, but I'm something else. But I don't know how to express that to you. And so I just finished reading a book called Atlas of the Heart, and it kind of goes through some vocabulary and kind of like the physical and mental triggers and indications of kind of like different emotions we feel as humans. And so if you're looking for some resources, that was a fantastic book to read and just kind of understand like the physiological and psychological effects of different emotions. But, you know, we were called by the Bible and by God and by Jesus to not be of this world.
Sure.
And so, and a lot easier said than done, another Christianese answer for you, but you know, we can't look at the world for, you know, platitudes and following what their mold of men should be. Mm. You know, we have an example of what, you know, godly Christian men should be, and it's right here in the Bible. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. No, never in the Bible does it say it's going to be easy, but I think it's harder if you hamstring yourself and don't put yourself in the Word and pray and meditate on what God's saying to us.
Yeah, let's start with only Scripture is inspired by God. Mm. No devotion, commentary, any other book out there that you might read is not inspired by God. It may be influenced by God. Mm-hmm. You have Christian writers that are fantastic.
Yep.
So you and I spend a lot of time reading. I say reading, I do a lot of audio books.
Mm-hmm. I like washing dishes while I listen to my books.
So. Right.
I feel productive on two fronts.
Right, so. Right. So I've been doing Audible for a couple of years now, and I just finished one called The 48 Laws of Power. Mm-hmm. The manipulation in this book is staggering.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There was enough in it to keep me there, but there was a couple of chapters I just skipped because I'm like, this is not of God in any form or fashion. And so, but it, you could see that as we unfortunately have to walk through this world, you know, Christ talked about, you know, you're going to wash your feet daily.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to pick up and walk through some trash. And so it is good to educate yourself with Scripture. And then anything else that is supportive that you can read that would be supportive of that to help you with communication.
Yep.
And I think your family and your friends, and your job, your walk with Christ is going to benefit from reading some information that help you be more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it starts with Scripture.
Yes.
100%. As we read other things, you don't want to read bad stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I read zip of the news. I do not worship at the altar of any of those news facilities, and I will not. So... I do take a sampling of what comes in of that just to make sure that the world's not on fire and it's not like, you know, bombs heading my way. But other than that, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
But as we talk about the Christ as a model of vulnerability and strength, I mean, Jesus showed strength through vulnerability, challenging traditional perceptions of masculinity. I mean, I'd imagine that the guy who's wearing the bracelet, if anybody is still, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
If you were really concerned about your masculinity, it might be, well, what would Rambo do? Or what would Chuck Norris do? That type thing. Knowing that Jesus showed strength and even emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one for you guys, the shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
And he's referring to when he was told Lazarus had passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus knew Lazarus had passed. It wasn't like he was getting a
surprised
hot copy right there. So, but Jesus was weeping for Lazarus, you know, openly showing emotion
because
he cared for Lazarus in their family. And so it's difficult for guys to, I think, embrace the full roundness of character of Christ unless we start to spend time seeking it and doing it. It's like running a triathlon. You're not going to be able to do, like, what is a triathlon? Running, swimming, bike riding, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you only did one of those three, guess who's going to come in last?
Right.
You and me.
Yeah.
Right? So it's important for us to kind of model that vulnerability, but in strength. And so, you know, developing empathy and relationships, you know, practical steps to cultivate empathy and understanding. I don't think we extend that courtesy sometimes to our own family.
I think it's harder with family sometimes because we see them like so everything, right? Like you see every part of them.
Sure. They
live in the same house. Like it's really easy to look at someone who maybe like you see like once a week, once a month kind of thing and be like, ah, it's fine. We're, you know, they're having a rough day. But when we live in these homes with our family, it's almost like, well, I've seen the way you act behind closed doors. You know, I see how you act at church and then behind closed doors. That's not the same person. That makes it difficult to offer forgiveness.
Well, you mean the church dad and the home dad is different?
Right.
Wow. Interesting.
So I think it's because we see all that grime that's behind that door at sure. all times. It makes it more difficult to see that. And unfortunately, there are some people out there that use that to their advantage of like, well, we're family. You can't get rid of me. And,
right.
you know, we are family. I will always be here so I can treat you however I want to treat you.
Right.
And that results in hurt feelings and, you know, problems in that aspect. And as hard as it is, we are still called to love those people.
Sure.
Now, that may be love from a distance if that situation is called for of like, hey, it physically is difficult, physically endangering me or emotionally or mentally or, and, you know, the case is there. But, you know, we are still called to love. In those, in, even in the difficult circumstances.
And scripture says, as best as you can, you know, try to get along, you know, love each other. Peter and Paul had some intense fellowship and they had to go different directions, you know. Yeah. It says, you're going to go to the left? Great. I'm going to the right. I'll see you when we meet on the other side of the planet. And so I think when you're talking about that there, I'm thinking of active listening, right? We've all been in a situation where you can tell that person is, they're forming the first word of what they want to say while you're talking, just waiting for you to break, you know, to stop talking so they can jump in. That means they're not listening. And so, and guys are probably horrible at that part as well.
I know I've struggled with that before where like I'm having a conversation with somebody and they're talking and I'm like, okay, cool. Okay. As soon as the lips stop talking,
sure.
I like you had two wisdom teeth. I had four wisdom teeth pulled. I one up you with the wisdom tooth story or, you know, whatever the case may be. And right. it's in those moments where I'm like, well, hold on a second. Am I even paying attention to what they're saying?
Sure.
Or am I just prepping my story that makes me look really good?
Sure. Right?
And by comparison. So
you never want to be the two wisdom two story guy.
A little Brian Regan reference for you guys.
Another Brian Regan reference. Yeah. Start off with 12 wisdom teeth. That's guaranteed to stop everybody in the tracks.
Yeah.
Some overcoming some barriers to compassion and communication.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying and addressing some common barriers men face and showing compassion. You know, there's a few men's ministries out there, their titles are Man Up, godly ministries, but you can see that, you know, they felt that there was a need for, you know, like to challenge God, like, look, walk it off, man yeah. up, let's do this kind of thing. I think sometimes guys get caught in that, you know, like they cannot show compassion or take a moment and like, so what's going on in life, man?
Yeah, take emotional stock. We've talked about this before, most phrases out there that are like idioms that are incomplete with like the blood is thicker than water. And it's the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So it's the exact opposite of what you would think. It's the people we make friendships in life are stronger than our family relationships. Right. One of the ones I heard recently was about the bootstrap one. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Right.
It was said in a way to show that you can't do that. You can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Mm. And to show that you need help in circumstances. And I think it's so funny that we use that in the exact opposite way of the idiom version of man up, of pull yourself up by your bootstraps, man.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And so I think you can see that we focus, we're so lone wolf style that we almost look at looking for help in other guys as that's weakness. I don't like that.
Right.
I should be able to handle myself. And when that fails because we can't, that's a downward spiral from relationships, emotion, everything in between.
Now, we're not saying we want to be delicate little snowflakes that every little emotion we feel oh my goodness, you're not seeing me. we're not saying that. We're saying that somewhere between the robot and the snowflake, I think guys need to be that can share when it needs to be shared and listen when it needs to be listened.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that if you're going through something and a little man of God said, "Hey man, I can tell you you're stressed out about something. Tell me about it so I can pray about it."
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely nothing weak about that statement.
Yeah.
But we have a hard time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the balance between maintaining personal boundaries and being emotionally available, I think guys really struggle in this area. And I think we would have more success with it if we just invested maybe a little bit of time with either prayer, resources, working on communication, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have read enough communication books that all it takes is maybe a week. And then you could see that, maybe small talk is the way I work into developing my communication skills or, kind of being there for my brother in Christ or my family, because your kids won't always talk about chainsaws and rusty nails and grit, sandpaper.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be well-rounded to a point where, like Paul said, I'm different things to different people because someone's going through a divorce here, someone's going through death there, someone has lost someone. It's different. And so I think that's why the Holy Spirit has to indwell in us because we struggle with, I think, rounding ourselves off as a human.
I think it's because the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit will give us words in time of need. And I think for me, that's such a comfort because as much as I can round myself off as an individual, reading books, reading the scripture, talking with people, podcasts, and X, Y, and Z, there are definitely moments where I'm like, I don't know even what to say here. And that's when I find comfort in that verse where it talks about, I don't have to know the words.
No.
God can give me those words and I can, help comfort my brother in Christ.
Even if it was something as simple as someone said, "So, man, you mentioned a while back that your job's not going well. Has anything changed?" "No, I'm not sure where my next, place is, and I'm not sure what to do." That would be it because that person was going, "I'm gonna keep praying about that. Seek God's will in that." It's been 20-minute Dr. Phil moment. Talking about that, I think opening that door a little bit is the battle cry here.
Yeah. And you can see communication and listening. If you want to boil our podcast down and our mission statement, it'd be those two words: to listen and then communicate.
Yes, indeed. So our verse here in the second segment is Ephesians 4:32.
"Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you."
Interesting. Well, as we get ready to move into our third segment, we wanted to thank our sponsors. Mm-hmm. 2023 was a challenging year, and so we've had to reach out to some men of God, some organizations, even some women that for financial help. Mm-hmm. And if you think that a nonprofit does not need funds to operate, you and I need to schedule a meeting. I can share with you exactly what goes on. But we want to thank our sponsors. You'll see a couple of them in our between our segments of men and organizations that have stepped up to help us, especially this year. We've asked for additional help. And so, and then also the newsletter. We've been trying to, one, give a newsletter that is beneficial, that covers several different topics, and that is beneficial for everyone. And so if you've not signed up for it yet, we send it out once a week on a Saturday, noon Eastern. And it's not very long. It's got enough for a man's attention span. I use myself as an example. If I don't lose interest, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's going to work. So be sure to visit uncommon.org and sign up today. And listen to our sponsors, and then we'll see you on the other side for our segment three. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor. At Sterling Technology Solutions, our mission is to help businesses in North Carolina maximize their profitability and success through our innovative managed IT services. Visit us at sterling-technology.com. All right, welcome to our third and final segment of the first podcast around loving like Jesus. The first few, we were a little more general about maybe some situations. This one, we're going to focus a little more on husband-wife. And so the pain point here is, in a world where relationships can be guided by self-interests, how do we center our relationships around Christ's teaching? And I think I mentioned in the previous segment that we often get a prayer request or an email or even a comment on some of the blogs that give us a very small snippet of one side of the story. And so we have to ask questions about both parties,
right?
Or make suggestions, and because they're usually asking for some suggestion. And we always start with prayer. Do you both read your Bibles? Do you both attend church together? Have you ever done a marriage study? Oh no. And rarely do they ever respond back to the email. Whether I have piqued their curiosity, scared them to death, or asked questions that they really don't want to answer, I'm not quite sure. But at least I gave them back something I think would benefit both parties of that marriage.
Yeah.
And I could see that sometimes the email comes across and they do give some detailed information that maybe this person has, you know, maybe fallen away from their faith, or they've had some more details about their relationship. But I'd say most of them were very, you know, one sentence, we're struggling, we're, you know, talking about divorce, we're separated right now, that kind of thing. And so I know Mom and I get ready to turn 34 years next Friday. And we dated for about 6 years while we were in, I'm going to take you way back, high school and college, right? And so over the years, you know, we've, just like any couple, had the ups and downs of communication. You know, I wasn't always working on my communication skills, and neither was she. And there were times where you could tell. And so when you and Heather
got married about 4 years ago. Do you recall the first time you felt a need to address communication or do a study or something around communication?
Fun enough, we had that conversation prior to us being married when we were dating very yes. early on, only because she grew up in a household where communication was at the bottom of the list yeah. of intentionality. So, you know, you guys taught us to be very, very well-rounded as guys and be good at communicating with those around us. Mm-hmm. And when that failed with me talking to her, I realized that we needed to have a conversation about, okay, so I need you to be very honest with me when we're having these kind of talks. You don't need to hide things like, you know, you sure. did when you were younger and the like. But that involved having conversations between us. When we did eventually do our marriage counseling for when we engaged, doing studies together. But it took her a desire on her end to want to learn to communicate better.
Sure.
And me to understand where she was coming from, because I could easily been like, okay, well, I can communicate, so it's on you to figure out how to communicate to me, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that wouldn't have been the right dynamic in any capacity. So mm-hmm. having us both kind of learn, you know, how to speak to each other in kindness and love really helped us to be better suited and have a great foundation for when we did get married.
Right.
But I think it's dangerous to think that, oh, I can communicate, I don't need to grow anymore. You can always continue to grow when it comes to communicating and finding better ways to communicating needs or desires and, you know, frustrations and stuff like that. And always, and we've talked in the beginning of making sure that you are always growing closer to Christ mm. as well as each other. Because if you're growing closer to Christ, then you're growing closer to each other.
Yeah, two things I think of that when you talk about that is you ever see someone limp. You know, from a sprained ankle, or they just, you know, they hurt themselves or whatever kind of thing. And that limp lasts a while. They then think, this is how I walk.
Yeah.
You get used to that limp. Mm-hmm. Same thing about communication. If you have poor communication, we always seem to talk about communication on this podcast. If you have poor communication for a long period of time, you don't recognize that.
Right.
You just think that's how I communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine.
That's just me.
Doesn't everybody, you know, shout down people at the drive-thru lane?
Right.
Let me lace my order at Burger King with some F-bombs. That's just how I am, right? Mm-hmm. And so you never really think about your communication or how effective or ineffective it is. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, if you are working on your communication, what are you using to teach yourself mm-hmm. and learn about and practice your communication skills? God forbid it be TV,
yeah.
media, reality TV, even songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, so really get picky about and intentional about your communication. If you're going to learn about it, start with scripture, mm-hmm. 100%. And then there's other things too that you can, you know, dive into. But we can all learn bad habits.
Yes.
You know, if you get some bad advice from someone, I just tell people how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't like it. Well, life's too short. I can move on, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to a book right now, and the lady was talking about this person sells cybersecurity. And he was talking to an individual who just had their entire identity stolen and all their money out of the bank transferred. Mm-hmm. And they didn't kind of tune into the empathy they should have had. They're talking to him about the cybersecurity tool they had that could possibly help definitely stop from future attacks. And the person who's like just devastated with it. Okay, I don't know if I've just lost everything in my account or not.
Right.
And so the person agreed to, yes, well, let's go ahead and do what you were suggesting. And the person said, awesome. It just changed the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. That one word. There's nothing awesome about this situation.
Right.
She meant awesome in the sense of, great, I'm ready to get a sale.
Right,
or,
yeah.
you know, yay, cha-ching. Mm. A little person is like, what is awesome about this?
Right.
My whole life is upside down. And so you can see that sometimes all it takes is one word.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, to change the direction of a conversation. You may not have intended it, but it happens nonetheless.
Right.
We always avoid these? Absolutely not. But the more we work on that communication and our relationships, the better that communication takes place when problems do arise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, because like, I mean, this is building and having the right tool for the job, right? Like,
sure.
You show up to paint pottery and you got a jackhammer. Well, you got the wrong tool for the wrong job. And so this is all when we talk about reading scripture and, you know, working on communication, trying to prep yourself, your future self, to have the right tools for that, the right job, to have that conversation in a way that can both be loving and kind and glorify God throughout.
Sure. On the didn't you know section, it says, commitments that engage in sharing religious activities, such as attending church, reading the Bible together, report stronger relational bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably always kind of focus on that when someone asks or says they're having problems. It is very difficult to be mad at someone you're praying for, right? Like, Lord, bless that person. Bless them hard.
You know?
And so some of our talking points that we probably have touched on a little bit is the importance of shared spiritual beliefs and practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the feeling that sometimes when people are sharing with us that something has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Their career is not going the way they want. They may have been like an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Their money issues, extended family problems, a bunch of different things that cause normal conversations and arguments in married lives. And so a couple's praying together and talking about their beliefs is one of the best things you can do for your marriage. And you don't even have to be great at communication. You do a Bible study on marriage together and then talk about it. That's some of the best counseling on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we just finished doing a 21-day prayer study, our church. And the entire church kind of did it in a bunch of churches around the country. And after we would do our lesson, we would talk about it. Sometimes it was something we both knew. Sometimes it was something a little new. 34 years later, still something's new. I don't know about Mom. And so... But it was a great time for us to communicate and relate a situation from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It was not John said this. You know,
yeah.
I don't care what you know what John says on his book he just wrote to sell.
Right.
But you start reading Scripture, and now you have my attention when it comes to learning something.
Right.
And so I really enjoyed that process of that book, and me and Mom and I have done probably 20 marriage studies over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great to spend time talking about situations in Scripture. You both can learn something from that.
Yeah, I think the benefit of usually using marriage studies or devotions and that and the like really helps kind of guide that conversation. So maybe if you're a little concerned about how do I broach this topic with my spouse or how do I, you know, keep that conversation going. Well, most of these marriage studies come with questions and, you know, things to talk about at the end of each chapter. So, you know, if you're looking for ways to kind of bring up the conversation naturally, that's a great way to start. Now, I do think it's interesting that, you know, we often get questions about, you know, divorce and that kind of stuff, and how, like they ask, you know, how, what can I do to kind of like, you know, make amends kind of thing. And we always talk about, you know, you're praying, you're reading scripture, you know, doing some devotions, you know, seeking counsel and that kind of stuff. And I almost feel like the guys that come to us sometimes expect some magical answer of like, you know, oh, well, so you're going to hop on your left foot for 10 miles and then you're going to spin in three circles. And because in reality, I mean, sure, in all these circumstances, it feels world shattering.
Sure.
And just saying, well, are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you, you know, getting closer with God? Seems ineffective. But I think you can see throughout the Bible, there's plenty of times where men's and women's lives were shattered. And it was only the love and, you know, grace that God had for them that really saved them.
Yeah, yeah. Service and sacrifice. You know, we expect, I guess, some situation to be, you know, like you said, the one something spectacular. Mm. When many times, if we just do what should be done, it's all that needs to be done. Right? You respect your spouse, you love them, you serve them, you protect, you care, all that kind of stuff. You don't have to like, I'm going to learn how to juggle chainsaws and eggs to impress my wife. That'll fix my marriage.
Right.
It's, I want to say it's simpler than that, but let's just say it's a little more basic than that. And so exploring how acts of service and sacrifice can deepen the bonds between a husband and wife, and no matter what season of life you're in. Mm-hmm. Because, and we have two sons, you and Noah, there's going to be times when you feel closer and further apart only because of your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have kids, you both work, they're, you know, you're taking care of, you know, family, it's a myriad of issues that can get in the way. But if you focus on and explore how you can serve each other and be willing to sacrifice, you know, maybe time and efforts kind of thing, doing things that each other wants to do that may not be your top 10, but hey, you know what? If you're happy, I'm happy. Mm. And so that really helps a relationship. And isn't it always the way, right? Men probably don't go to the doctor until they're double over in pain. So naturally, they don't reach out for marital advice or input until bags were packed and a divorce attorney is contacted. If we work on this along the way, we can usually avoid these catastrophic, you know, issues that really can destroy families.
Yeah.
And so I think that the divorce rate number is skewed these days because people don't get married as much anymore. So when they do break up, it's not reported as a divorce.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've been contacted by anyone so far that says, we've been, you know, investing in our marriage, and basically any success stories, you know, and doing some of the things you suggested, or, you know, read scripture around it, or whatever. And we have found that to be a really great way for us to get closer together. I have yet to receive that email.
Yeah, well, you can see that oftentimes we take for granted when things are going good, right? Like,
sure.
You know, I always think about, like, whenever I get sick and I'm coughing every 10 seconds and it hurts to you know, drink water. I'm like, oh, how have I taken for granted the normalcy of swallowing and breathing without pain? I'll never take it for granted again. And then as soon as I'm fine, I'm like, yeah, I'll grab myself a coffee. It's fun. Let's get going kind of thing. So I think oftentimes you see that, you know, everything's good, and this applies for relationships, but also this applies with our relationship with God. When everything's good, how often do we pray, like, thank you, Lord, for this thing? It's always, Lord, I'm in financial trouble. I'm in marital trouble. Yeah. I'm in problems with my kids or whatever. Please help me. It's never, Lord, thank you for keeping me safe today. you know, thank you for providing me, you know, my loved ones and that kind of thing. So, you know, we talk a lot of this on the gratitude series back around Thanksgiving, but I think you can see that, you know, we all could probably stand to learn from that idea of gratitude in the small things and every day.
How different our prayer life would be if we didn't show up with a laundry list for God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of went there and wanted to listen, wanted to just fellowship, right? Instead of, well, you know, I have this list that I've alphabetized for your benefit, Lord. And it's funny that you mentioned about being sick. You could tell that we've been sick recently with COVID or just a cold for the last, less than a month ago. But we rarely have as active a prayer life when things are going bonkers, right?
Yeah.
When you have problems with your health or your job, marriage, money, whatever it is, boy, that will increase your prayer life in anybody's business. Ends are overlapping. You're healthy. You're ready to go on vacation. You just bought a new car. I can have time for God. I'm rolling.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm living large. So you'd hate to see that something in our life needs to wake us up from the everyday.
Right.
Because I don't think anybody wants that. And so, as that great theologian Andy Mineo said, if you stay ready, you won't have to get ready.
Mm.
All right, so our verse for this segment is Colossians 3:14.
And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
Mm. Very, very good. Well, as we draw close to this podcast, we have one more coming up that's focused on some different aspects of love like Jesus. Again, it's around Valentine's Day. This last segment was around husband and wife for the reason that's going to come out before Valentine's Day. So you cannot blame us if you get in the doghouse for showing up with gas station flowers and a card. So thank you for joining in today. I want to mention that if you haven't followed us on social media, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, right? No, Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram.
Instagram, MySpace, YourSpace, we're on a bunch of things. Check out our website at uncommon.org and see all the different ways you can interact with Uncommon. Some questions we do get, like, they show up and they think we just do just one thing.
Mm.
Only realize we do all these stuff, resources and tools and content. So be sure to check us out at uncommon.org. And if you want to take that next step and become a donor, we would very much appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
As little as $10, as high as whatever your checkbook will allow. You won't get in trouble with your wife.
Right. Whatever your credit card limit is.
Exactly. So, thank you for joining in. Be sure to tune in our next podcast around Love Like Jesus. And so, Joshua, if you're going to be something,
you better be uncommon.